Good morning and welcome. It's good to see everyone that we have with us today. We realize we have several who are with us because they are here to worship with their mothers, and we're thankful for your presence, and you're always welcome, of course, to be with us. This, of course, is a day that the United States of America recognizes as Mother's Day. Mother's Day is a day that we celebrate life. The first day of the week is a day that we celebrate life, the life that Christ gave us as he rose from the dead, showing us that life is in him. Life is certainly something to celebrate, and throughout the Bible we see the contrast between death and life often being made, and that we should choose life. And it's wonderful that we have the opportunity to choose life. In our day and age, there are those who choose not to give life to their children, and we are saddened by that. We see in news reports, even today, that there are those who are even depicting violence against infants. And that is indeed sad and tragic and beyond comprehension, really. Nevertheless, those are the days that we live in today. God would always tell us to choose life. And each one of us here today are thankful that our mothers chose life. And in choosing life, we are certainly aware of the fact that life comes at sacrifice. It came with a sacrifice from God in his only begotten Son, so that we might have life in him and the hope of eternal life. And as we reflect upon our mothers, we realize that they have made sacrifices throughout their life to bring us to the point that we are. And most especially if we have embrace the faith that is in Christ Jesus, the contribution that our mothers have made in teaching us, nourishing us, setting an example for us, encouraging us to be faithful. You know, Isaiah opens his prophecy with God actually speaking, and he makes a statement. He says, "I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." That was the purpose of him making this prophecy through Isaiah, pointing out the rebellion of Israel and the punishment that they were going to receive because they had rebelled against him. On the other hand, we know we could say, well, what about Proverbs 22, where it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from him. It's generally true, most often true, not always true, as God depicted there in Isaiah chapter 1. And so, as we roll around to Mother's Day, we might ask ourselves the question. I know I often struggled with, well, what am I going to get Mom for Mother's Day, you know, besides a card, you know, and that type of thing. What does your mother really want? And I couldn't help but think of the passage that we, of course, went over this morning in our Bible class this morning. 3 John, verses 3 and 4, John says, "I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you," speaking of Gaius, "just as you walk in the truth." It's not a truth, your truth, it's the truth. And then he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And so in that statement that I'd like to base our lesson upon this morning. If you have a godly mother, and perhaps in some cases even if you have a mother that does not revere God and keep his commandments, she could make this statement, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." There are many who have chosen the wrong path of life, But they don't want their children to take that path. They would want their children to walk in truth. And certainly if you have a godly mother, she wants to see that you have remained true to the instruction and example that she has set for you. And to hear that you walk in truth. And when you think about that, you think about, well, what is the source of truth? To walk in truth, we must recognize the true source of truth. Notice, Paul said of Gaius, you walk in the truth. The true source of truth is found in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. He says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. You received the word of God. And in receiving the word of God, we receive the truth. Notice John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32, passage we're very familiar with here. We quote it quite often. Jesus said to those who believed on him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth. We cannot know the truth unless we abide in his word. We could make a big play on words here in regards to know. You will know the truth if you abide in his word. You know, it's not just reading the word or hearing somebody quoting the word and to where we would know the truth. You don't know the truth until you abide in his word. You live in his word. You read it, you study it, you meditate on it, and most importantly, you practice it in your life. That's how you get intimate with his word. Abide in his word, and you will know the truth. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And John 17 and verse 17, Jesus, in praying to the Father, said, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And somebody might be saying, well, which is it? Is Jesus said, abide in my word and you will know the truth. Jesus said, God's word is truth. But Jesus said, I am the truth. Which is it? Is it Jesus or is it the word? Yes. Because in John chapter 1, verse 1, we read, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Without him all things were made. Without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So the source of truth is the word of God. Whether it be the written word that we are familiar with or the word made flesh that we are familiar with because of the written word. We need to be familiar with Christ, with his word. He is the source of truth. Of course, as we saw in John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, Jesus says, you shall know the truth. Our knowledge of truth comes from his word. But knowing the truth, being intimate with his truth, leads to the practice of his truth. And so in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4, we read, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. There are many today who profess that they know God, that they know Christ, that they're in fellowship with Christ, that they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They say, I know him. But they do not keep his commandments. The Word of God says such a one is a liar. The truth is not in him. It's not enough just to know that there is a God, that Jesus is the Son of God, that the Bible is the Word of God, and to say, I believe that what the Bible says is true. We must practice what it teaches. We must keep his commandments. 1 John chapter 3, in verses 18 and 19, he says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. For by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. My little children, let us love in deed. Not just saying, I love him, I know him, but that we are actually practicing the things that are written in his word. What's the greatest criticism that we have of the church today? As you go out and you talk to people and encourage them to come and worship with you or even study the Bible with you, most often the criticism that you hear is, well, I know people who are church-going people and they don't practice what the Bible says. They don't live the life that God teaches us to live in the Bible. Very, very true criticism, sad to say. The fact of the matter is that their lack of faith is not going to save you. It's not going to make you look any better in the eyes of God. The fact that you know the difference between the life that they're living and the life that God would have us to live indicates to me that you want to practice the truth. That if you became a Christian, you would live the way that God teaches us to live. Let us love in deed and in truth. By this we know that we are of the truth, when we practice the deeds that the Word of God teaches us to do. 2 John verse 9 makes this point. He says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. To be in fellowship with God, we must abide in the doctrine of Christ. We must abide in the Word of God. We must abide in the gospel of Christ. Notice John 14 and verse 23, Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Same point as is being made here in 2 John verse 9 is being made here in John 14 and verse 23. If we hope to be in fellowship with God, we must abide in the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ. We must keep his word. Not just know his word, not just believe his word, but keep his word. Matthew 28 and verses 19 and 20, very familiar passage where Jesus is speaking to the apostles. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. When John in 2 John is talking about abiding in the doctrine of Christ, he's not just talking about abiding in the teaching of Christ that Jesus did come in the flesh, although that's part of the doctrine of Christ. He's talking about the entirety of the body of the teaching of Christ. All things whatsoever I have commanded you, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Abide in this, and you'll be in fellowship with him. Keep his word. What's the reward of truth? Well, again, John 8 verse 31 and 32, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Can you be free without the truth? Abiding in this truth, knowing this truth, practicing this truth, he says, this will make you free. Free from your sin, free from doubt and fear, free from yourself and your insecurities, and the confidence that you can have in Christ, knowing you're walking in His truth. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. It's an interesting verse. It says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard before, where? In the word of the truth of the gospel. No such thing as another gospel. It's only one. No such thing as another truth or my truth. It's the truth that is revealed in God's Word. And one of the things that it reveals us is that we can have a home laid up in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that you may be where I am. There are many people who, if you ask them, are you going to heaven? They might say, well, I hope so. No, this is not a hope of doubt or insecurity. This is a valid, confident hope. Because of the Word that promises us a home in heaven. We've heard of this home. We know the way. Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? To which Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So one of the rewards of truth is this: if we walk in this truth that we have heard in the word of the truth of the gospel, we are promised this home in heaven. Again, we come back to Mark 16 and Mark's record of Jesus' orders to the apostles as he was about to depart to be with his heavenly Father. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. If you hear and believe the gospel, you obey it, being baptized for the remission of your sins, Jesus said, you will be saved. But if you do not believe, you will be condemned. Well, which part? Can you believe that Jesus is the Christ and go to heaven without doing anything else that he tells you to do? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do you say that I have all authority, but when I tell you what to do, you won't do what I tell you to do? No, it's he who believes and is baptized will be saved. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 says, you have purified your souls, how? In obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. You have purified your souls. Abide in my word. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth will make you clean. The truth will purify your soul because you have obeyed the truth that is revealed in the gospel. So what have we seen about the rewards of truth? The rewards of truth was, first of all, freedom. Freedom from our sin. Freedom from ourselves. Freedom from the carnal man to live in the Spirit, following the instructions of God, confident of the rewards of such a life. The reward of truth is a hope of heaven, as we saw in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. That's where our promise of heaven is revealed, is in the word of truth. The reward of truth is a purified soul, made free from sin, washed in the blood of Christ, raised to walk in newness of life with Him, abiding in His Word. And finally, I would submit to you that the reward of truth is a rejoicing parent. That your parents would say, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Are you walking in truth today? Is Jesus Christ your Savior, your Lord? He is the Savior. He is the Lord, but you need to make Him yours. You need to live for Him. Recognize Him and His Word as the source of truth and have a desire to be abiding in that truth. To be living His Word and practicing what He teaches us to do. If you want to make your Heavenly Father happy, join with your earthly parents and walk in truth. Because Jesus said there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. The heavenly host could be made to rejoice today if you would walk in truth. Recognize His Word as truth. Dedicate yourself to living for it so that you might glorify God in the practice of it. And realize the abundant life that Jesus came to show us that we can have here and the eternal life that we can have hereafter. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, but you believe that He is the Son of God, you've turned from your sin, you're ready to walk in the pathway of righteousness and confess Him as a Son of God, then obey Him today. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be born again. Be born of the water and of the Spirit this very day. And embrace the promise of abundant life here and eternal life hereafter. If you're here today as a child of God and you're not walking in truth, you realize that you're out of favor with God. You need to make correction in your life. Would you please do so? Let us pray with you and for you on your behalf. If you're subject to the invitation today in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?